From the sanctuary of the Mayflower Congregational Church in Lansing, Michigan, I'm Pastor Mark McCormick with Pastor Jacob Richards, Music Director Barb Fuller, and accompanist Deanne McCormick, along with our entire worship team, inviting and welcoming you, each of you, to our online service of worship. Grace and peace to all of you in the name of Jesus the Christ. Following the service today, and it looks like the weather is going to cooperate, we will host our second drive-through event in the parking lot of our church. And you will be given a pledge card as part of our consecration month, which will be collected on October 25th, Consecration Sunday, when yet another drive-through will be scheduled. We'll hope and pray for good weather on that day too. And you will also have an opportunity to meet members of our worship team today, as well as Randy and Charmaine Hall, our newest members here at Mayflower. And of course, you'll receive a bag of homemade cookies made by none other than Meredith Kennedy. And yes, I've had a lot of phone calls this week asking about the cookies. So hopefully you'll be happy to see me too. It's okay if you know these cookies, which are made by Meredith, they're worth the drive, let me tell you, folks. But it will begin at 11:30, which will be pretty much immediately after our service, and go till about 12:30 or whenever the last car leaves the parking lot. And once again, we ask you to enter from the Bel Air entrance and exit on the Mount Hope side, and we hope to see you then. I am going on vacation for the better part of the next 2 weeks, but I'm leaving you in good hands, along with our volunteers. Pastor Linda is on alert, and so is Pastor Jacob, for anything that might occur where you would need pastoral care. So I'm getting away with my friend Jerry, doing some hiking, biking, and what else? Canoeing and camping, but I will tell you that camping is a relative term because we'll be staying in Jerry's brand new Airstream trailer. I guess you would call that glamping, right? Okay. So Jacob will be preaching the service next Sunday morning, and I know our congregation is want to give him their full support, and Linda will be doing carrying much of the rest of the service. So don't leave us, folks, just when the cat's gone, okay? Finally, a socially distanced service of remembrance will be held at 3 o'clock today here in the sanctuary in honor of Laura Anderson following the loss of her son, Jack Rose, who lived in Idaho. Now, this will be on Facebook live stream, and the video recording will be immediately posted to our church website following the service. So we encourage you to tune in as we, as a congregation, Mayflower Church, support one of our very own, Laura, in the loss of her son. We will be doing communion today. We will have communion. That'll be done virtually. So if you need to find whatever elements you have in your home, you can do that and be prepared for the communion later in the service. God be with us now as we worship.
We gather in worship under the banner of love with a language that cannot be audibly heard, but which has spoken loudly. The harvest moon, the crisp air, the changing and breathtaking beautiful hues of autumn splendor upon the trees. All declare God's glory. In addition, God's law, which was given to the ancients upon tablets of stone, has now been written upon our hearts with a language declaring God's redemptive love. Join us as we celebrate that love in the universal language of music, the written language of scripture, the mystical language of prayer, and the spoken language of pastoral care. Amen. Please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father and Creator of life, you spoke all that is into being. You said, "Let there be," and there was. Words have power, they are wisdom expressed. So, Lord, we ask you to immerse us in your heavenly wisdom. Lord, we know that sometimes what we say is just as important as how we say it. So bless us with an awareness of how our words impact ourselves and those around us. Let the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. In all things, we give praise and glory to you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
I hope it's okay to admit a sin by your pastor, and that is I feel a little jealous of Tom and Marcia when they spent part of the last week out in the state of Washington in the most beautiful weather you could imagine at this time of year, and getting texts from my favorite seafood restaurant in Seattle out there on the water, eating scallops, I think it was. and also some of their journeys around Mount Rainier, which is very familiar to me. But in reality, I welcome them back, even though I'll still feel a little jealous. And today begins Consecration Sunday, and as you know, it's our tradition to have one of our own share some things, some thoughts about what Mayflower might mean to them. So today, to start us off, is Tom Hacker.
Good morning, Mayflower family. My name is Tom Hacker. When Pastor Mark asked me to sell Mayflower Church to you, from my opinion, I thought, great, just when everyone is sick and tired of hearing from all the politicians hawking their selling points, you folks came to church and will hear again someone hawking the selling points of the church. So sorry if I might sound like a politician this morning. I know we're all sick of it. But you know, I come from a political family background. My grandfather was mayor of the city of Lansing for over 15 years. And he hauled me aside one day when I was about 15 years old, and he was almost his final days as being mayor. He said, "Tommy, I want you to know one thing, and that is that politics are not, they were great when I got into it, but they're not great now. And I just don't think you should ever consider a career in politics." And I thought, you know, that man had a vision back in 1950 that politics just don't know how to handle things and can't get things done. As many of you know, I'm one of the newer members here, and I can speak from experience and from the heart by saying Pastor Mark and his team know how to create an environment that just draws you in and delivers a feeling of peace, a feeling of joy, and especially a feeling of love, Marcia Hacker. Each Sunday, we come to see and hear the wonderful and inspiring music, come to see and hear the wonderful and sometimes colorful an inspiring message by our Pastor Mark, which can be, by the way, sometimes, no, oftentimes, an entertaining message. So Mayflower Church has all the extra stuff that most churches have. You know, like the social gatherings and the get-togethers. And each year our family participates in fundraising in order to contribute to our financial stability, like our tasty chicken dinners and our Friday-Saturday rummage sales. March 2020, COVID settles in. And all of the Mayflower Church fundraisers go south, and go south for who knows how long, or how long this will impact our members and their lives, their incomes, and their contributions. This is a new world, folks. All successful businesses, including churches, will have to regroup and adjust for these unsettling times. This loss of income would create a pretty big hole in most church budgets, but Mayflower Church doesn't have an average church business budget. It has a rainy day budget that includes a line item for unforeseen events like COVID-19. Mayflower Church has something that most churches don't have. We have a financial plan. A plan that all successful businesses have to be successful. A plan that provides state-of-the-art technology that delivers. Thanks to our friends at Facebook and our wonderful in-house audio and video wizard, dynamic online services each and every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. With, of course, the graces of Governor Whitmer, who can fix the new rules we have to follow, but still can't figure out how to fix the damn roads. Our church leaders take pride in developing a realistic budget each year. And in order to provide these wonderful experiences, we base our budget on past and future budgeting and financial investments from our members. And those financial investments come in all sizes, shapes, small, medium, large, and sometimes extra large. About this time of year, we have our annual giving campaign. But we only ask that you contribute and pledge in an amount that you are comfortable with and proud of. That's it. It's that simple. Period. 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 It's whatever you feel comfortable with. And if you can't afford financial support for our family, that's okay too. Your spiritual support is always appreciated. I've had the unfortunate situation in my life where I was a member of three consecutive churches that failed to survive or are now barely surviving. And, you know, when I look back at those churches and I think of what happened, these churches all ran with the premises, well, if we can't raise enough funds for what we want to do, we'll just pray about it and maybe the Lord will provide for us. Well, you know, that doesn't happen. What happens is the Lord provides our Mayflower Church with the leadership and visions we need to make this a financially strong church. So give what you feel proud of and comfortable with. It's that simple. When Marcia and I traveled the wonderful states of Washington, Oregon, we came across an interesting name for a town or a city. Y'all up. And I told Marcia, I said, that's kind of a cool city name, Y'all Up. So that name stood out for me, and I thought about today. So it's that simple. Y'all need to step up and make your commitment. You know, I have one final message. This is a really cool and awesome place to be every week. Thank you.
Yeah. I'll be giving my consecration moment next week, and I don't know necessarily how I will follow that, Tom, so thank you for it. Wonderful message, thank you. Our first gospel reading for today comes from Matthew 12:33-37, and it is one that Jesus takes pretty seriously. Hear now these words. Either make the tree good, and its fruits good, or make the tree bad, and its fruits bad. For the tree is known by its fruits, you brood of vipers. How can you speak good things when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person brings good things out of a good treasure, and the evil person brings evil things out of an evil treasure. I tell you, on the day of judgment, you will have to give an account for every careless word you utter. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Thanks be to God. Amen.
We place upon your table a gleaming cloth of white, the weaving of our stories, the fabric of our lives, the dreams of those before us. The ancient hopeful cries, the promise of our future, the needing of our nurture, lie here before our eyes. We come to your feast, we come to your greatest and the least. We come to your feet. fruit of our lungs and the work of our hands, we come to your feast. We place upon your table a humble loaf of bread, the gift of field and hillside, the grain by which we're fed. We come to taste the presence of him on whom we feed, to strengthen and connect us, to challenge and correct us, to love in world and deed. We come to your feast. We come to your feast. The young and the old, the frightened, the bold, the greatest and the least, we come to your feast. We come to your feast with the fruit of our lungs and the work of our hands. We come to your feast. We place upon your table a simple cup of wine, the fruit of human labor, the gift of sun and vine. We come to taste the presence of him we claim as Lord, his dying and his living, his leading and his giving, his love in cup outpoured. We gather round your table, we pause within our quest, we stand beside our neighbors, we name the stranger guest. The feast is spread before us, you bid us come and dine. In blessing we'll uncover, in sharing we'll discover your substance and your sign. We come to your feast. We come to your feast. The young and the old, the frightened, the bold, the strangest and the least, we come to your feast. We come to your feast with the fruit of our lungs and the work of our hands. We come to your feast.
Today's Old Testament reading is Psalm 19. In this very well-known psalm, we learn that the power of language happens without words when the grandeur and spectacle of the created order is observed. Written words of the law also speak of the power of language. Hear now these words. The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night declares knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard, yet their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In the heavens he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom from his wedding, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and nothing is hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is clear, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. But who can detect their errors? Clear me from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from the insolent. Do not let them have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer.
Let's pray. Lord, it's pretty easy this morning because I'm going to repeat what was just read to us from Scripture. So, Lord, make this meaningful to me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you and to all those who hear. Amen. Well, I don't know if this is going to be entertaining or not. We'll let you decide that. But I would like to begin this sermon, as I have several times in the last few months, with a response to another grave national crisis, which is also has implications for the entire world. I surmise that many folks within the sound of my voice have been riveted to your television screens this week with, first of all, the debate, and then the revelations on Friday morning that the President and First Lady have contracted the coronavirus. And I join with everyone in praying for their full and speedy recovery. We also pray for our country, and especially the many crises which have borne weight upon us. God help us. As I prayed and thought about it, from this point, I am going to proceed with the sermon as I had prepared before that news broke. But as almost always, the words of Scripture, the life of Jesus, the words of Jesus have cross-reference into all the events in our world, in our country, in our community, in our church, and in our lives. I see these two words with about as much passion as I possibly can. Words matter? If you don't think so, just read and listen to all the fallout from the debate which happened on Tuesday night. Words which were spoken, words which were not spoken, and words we wish would have been spoken. Regardless of anyone's political persuasion, the challenge for me and for many preachers is that for a few short moments on Sunday morning, we speak against the backdrop of all the news and perspective that comes across your television sets and your internet feeds. I've told you many times that I do not regularly watch television news. That might make me seem like uninformed, but I read the news as my father taught me a long time ago. I watched some news on Friday to monitor, television news I'm talking about, to monitor the situation that I noticed very early in the morning when I looked at my smartphone and saw the news that our first couple had contracted the virus. Television news has a negative effect on me for my physical, psychological, emotional, and spiritual health. So I spent a lot of time reading on Friday. Having said that, I hope that my words matter today, and I share these brief thoughts. Jesus knew a lot about what it was like to have insults and lies thrown his way. Immediately prior to these warnings against careless words, Jesus was simply doing what he always did, healing people, especially those in the throes of demonic influence. Someone had brought to Jesus a demoniac who could not see or speak. The scripture simply says that Jesus cured him. When the crowd saw what happened, they were amazed and began to ask, "Could this be the Son of David?" When that question was asked, the Pharisees intervened, seeing the influence Jesus had with the crowds. And they accused Jesus of casting out demons by the ruler of demons, Beelzebul. Jesus responded and easily refuted their preposterous claim. "No city or house divided against itself will stand." Most people think, if given that phrase, that it was Abraham Lincoln that first spoke those words, but he was simply quoting Jesus. Jesus continued, "If Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself." When he spoke these words, I imagine the Pharisees began to pay attention. We cannot fully understand the implications of the judgment against careless words and exactly what Jesus meant. If you read this literally, we are all doomed. Indeed, I've had to apologize to a few of you for a careless word or thoughtless words spoken. Jesus' criticism of the Pharisees was not only what came from their mouths, but he made the connection between one's mouth and one's heart. The essential truth is this: good words don't come from a bad heart. Indeed, they cannot. You don't get good fruit from a bad tree. Fortunately, God has given us a love language that is unique to God. The first is the celestial language spoken about in today's lectionary psalm read by Deanne. The heavens, the firmament, the creation declare the glory and splendor of God. Sunlit days with warmth and light, moonlit nights. Did you see the first of the two full moons this month? And did you know that we will have a blue moon on Halloween? And a blue moon, of course, occurs when there are two full moons within one month, and we are experiencing that. I greatly appreciated moonlit nights on my 7-day solo trek around Mount Rainier. And if you saw it this week, you know that's a long way around that mountain. As I hiked the few days on either side of a full moon with cloudless skies, That beautiful moon kept me company in the wilderness when no other tents were pitched in those primitive and remote wilderness campsites. That moon, to me, was the presence of God. That same moon was also instrumental on a cold winter night at Christmas time 10 years ago on one of my first dates with Deanne. You'll have to ask me that some other time about exactly what took place, other than to say it was a romantic evening. Gorgeous sunrise and sunsets, falling stars that captured my imagination as a child, constellations that appealed to all our imaginations, sometimes UFOs because they're simply, we don't know what they are or who they are, and the Aurora Borealis, otherwise known as the Northern Lights, the sight of which always takes my breath away. I'm hoping to see the Northern Lights when Jerry and I head up almost to the Canadian border in northern Minnesota. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established, what are human beings that you, O Lord, are mindful of them, mortals that you care for them, indeed care for us, says the psalmist in Psalm 8. I concur. There are no words for the beauty, splendor, and mystery of the skies and creation, but the language is unmistakable, and it is a language of love. The next language given to us in the lectionary psalm is another one of God's love languages. It is the language of instruction, otherwise known as the law. It is the language of the teacher. Think of what a good teacher does. And one of the greatest frustrations for a good teacher is a student that is not open to instruction and learning. I remember a few times, and I feared this greatly as a child, when my mother would go, or my mother and father would go to parent-teacher conferences, and one of the oft-stated criticisms of their son, their only son, was is that he wasn't living up to his full potential. Well, maybe none of us ever fully do. But I've learned a few lessons along the way. But the law, the teacher, and the classroom, and the book will always seem like a burden to us if we are not open to instruction, or indeed the law. God must be very frustrated with us sometimes when we resist and complain about the necessity to learn, develop, grow, and mature. And I have so much respect for people that are in their 90s or beyond and still trying to learn. The law of the Lord is perfect, sure, right, clear, pure, and true. It revives the soul, produces wisdom, makes one happy, enlightens, and it lasts forever. Fortunately, God doesn't expect perfection from us. We can't always detect our errors, says the psalmist, our hidden faults, or our transgressions and sins. So God has provided all we need to avoid the domination of evil in our lives. But when the law fails, we have been given the Christ, even Jesus, who has shown us the sacrificial, redeeming, and relentless path of love, which is the essence and heart of our religion. In the story of Christ, the powerful language of love is never better illustrated than with his relationship with his disciples. Just before we gather around the Lord's table, it would behoove us to look at the language of our Lord, which also was a love language. Jesus knew when he shared bread and wine with the 12, they would not have the perspective of history like we do. So when he says to his disciples, "Take, eat, this is my body," it must have been confusing. Or "drink my blood," the disciples would have certainly understood that differently or more confusingly than we might. They were often confused when Jesus talked about his impending death. But there is no word in Aramaic, which is the language that Jesus often spoke or did speak, for what is translated into English as body when he said, "This is my body." The likely word Jesus used was an Aramaic word called simply goop, or GUP, which was closer to what we understand as self or ego. The way this would be understood, especially to the disciples, would have been something like this: I have given to you all of myself. In that context, the idea of his blood would have meant something like, I have given to you my life's very blood. These were powerful words and yet gentle words spoken at a time of intense fear and uncertainty. So, in these turbulent times of pandemic, racial reckoning, economic difficulty, and political warfare, I offer to you those words of Christ as we share the meal around the table and the virtual table. In these days when the effects of the powerful language of derision, exclusion, ridicule, and division are seen as normal and expected, as your pastor, I pray these words once again. O Lord, let the words of my mouth, indeed our mouths, and the meditation of my heart and your heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen.
Now we'll be moving into a time of Holy Communion. If you have your elements at home, please feel free to join us in the actions that will come. Now join me in our confession. Forgiving God, we come to this table knowing that we often fall short of all that you desire for us. Sometimes we fail, both as individuals and as a community of faith. We seek your mercy and grace as we ask you for forgiveness and renewal, that we may better follow you. In the name of your Son, amen. We have this assurance that no matter how far we wander or how far away we feel from God, we never move outside the boundaries of God's love for us. We are loved, we are forgiven, we are blessed. We celebrate open communion here at Mayflower Church in the tradition of our beloved teacher who welcomed all to the supper, even those who betrayed him or ran away in fear. It is right and a good and joyful thing to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turn away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign in God, and spoke to us through your prophets. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, 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 Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. We welcome you to this table, whether you are a member of this church, another church, or no church. All you need is faith or a desire for faith. This is the time when we all acknowledge our past failures, sins, and disappointments, and present ourselves to God, who offers us love, forgiveness, and wholeness. Remember, God accepts us just where we are and who we are at this very moment of our lives.
Just a point of clarity for all of us, including those of you who are watching online, that as Jacob and I share the elements, when I speak, ministering to you is in his name. Jacob and I will share the bread, at which time we shall all eat the bread. And then I will share the cup, saying, ministering to you in his name, I give you this cup, and that'll be the clue for those here and those watching online to share together in the elements of communion. On the night when Jesus was betrayed, he sat at supper with his disciples. He took the bread, blessed it, and then broke it. And he said to them, take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. After supper, Jesus took the cup, gave thanks, and blessed it. And this is what he said. This is the cup of the New Testament in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. Ministering to you in his name, I give you this bread. Ministering to you, in his name, we offer you the cup of salvation. And now we share together the prayer of thanksgiving. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us with this memorial of your love and have granted to us the presence of your Son, even Jesus Christ our Lord. And we ask you to strengthen our faith in you and to increase our love toward one another through him, our Redeemer. Amen. I now offer the Lord's Prayer. The pastoral prayer, which will be followed by the Lord's Prayer, which we shall pray and share together as always. Let us pray. Gracious God and loving Lord, we come to you when our nation is facing yet one more crisis to the ever-growing list which could give us more fear. But Isaiah reminds us not to fear, because when we pass through the waters, God will be with us. When we walk through the fire, we shall not be burned. So we thank you, Lord, and ask that you shall take away our fear. But even if we do not fear, Lord, we share our concerns. And we pray today for our President and First Lady, Donald and Melania. We pray for their speedy and full recovery. We pray for White House and government officials that are scrambling right now to keep the operation of government going, even while the list of those infected people grows by the hour. Oh Lord, help, heal, and help us to recover, not only in health, but in our faith, as we look to you for strength and direction. We pray earnestly for our country. And Lord, I'm also sure that out of this, we learn lessons. I'm sure our president has learned a lesson. Help us to learn the lesson of the importance of continued and vigilant social distancing. Help us to realize that scientists, good, faithful, learned scientists who are working on our behalf to help us understand the vicious nature of a virus that is deadly. So, dear Lord, continue to help and guide us through these dark and turbulent waters, and help us never to give up hope and never to give up. Now, Lord, we pray for those within our care. We pray for Laura Anderson and her family, who shall gather here today in loving remembrance of dear son Jack. Be with us as we minister to the family. May we be praying for them even today. We pray for Craig Young, who has been in and out of the emergency room this morning and yet will be here this afternoon, so we thank you. But we pray that you would continue to be with him. His father, Donald, now in hospice, and for his sister, Constance, in Kansas City, as she deals also with her father's fading health. Hear our prayers, O Lord, and hear now the one we pray every week. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
One.
Do our words unite or divide? Do our words spread love or hate? We walk upon the words of the Lord, the earth beneath our feet, created by your mouth, O Lord. As we leave today, let the crisp air, the colorful leaves, and the harvest moon remind us of your word by which we were created. And by our words, we have the opportunity to remind others of your love, God. Amen. Go in peace.
Going to say it quickly today, folks. Goodbye, and we'll see you in the parking lot. Amen.